And even in this study, as we've gone through this study, if you expound everything that we have learned and you take all the knowledge that was ever in the world that God has put in this world, because let me tell you something. If there's any knowledge in this world that's worth having, comes from God.
Amen.
Everything else, you can have all the book learning and stuff, but that really doesn't help. In fact, the knowledge that comes from God grants you salvation. It grants you life everlasting. It grants you a deeper relationship with the Most High God. And through this desire to learn more about God, to learn more of God, we came across a scripture in the Revelation that spoke about the seven spirits of God, which over the last several weeks we've been looking into. All right, because always, and y'all have heard, I seem to start this same thing for the last 5 weeks with the same words. That's because it means so much, right? When you come to know Him, know more about Him, it changes you, right? You're not going to change God with knowledge. I mean, what are you going to teach God? Who's going to counsel the Lord, right? But He does have a right and an ability to counsel us. We looked into these seven spirits of God, or looking at the seven spirits of God, which are actually seven attributes of God that He wants to grant us. These attributes may start out with the fear of the Lord. If you do not have the fear of the Lord, then the other ones will never come to you. They'll never be illuminated to you. The rest of the knowledge of God, it pivots on this. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The beginning of understanding is the fear of the Lord. The beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. To start anything, first you had got to have a right understanding of who God is. And I know a lot of our circles say, well, He's a loving God. I should never fear Him. Well, Jesus said you should. Jesus said, don't fear a man who's able to take your body, just kill your life. Don't worry about that guy. But fear the one who's able to take your life and cast your soul into hell. I know I said the prayer, I'm safe, I don't have to worry about that. Well, we can talk about that on another date. Because the prayer never saved anybody. The belief has always saved people. Words don't mean anything if there's no meaning to the words that you say. I know a lot of people that claim themselves to be Christian, but they have no fear of God. If you have no fear of God, I seriously doubt your salvation.
Yeah.
Right? I doubt the depth that you're able to get with God. And God wants you to go deep. Mm-hmm. He wants you to go deep. He wrote a really big book. Amen. A lot of words in it. More wisdom than words. Amen. And in this, there's the fear of the Lord that begins, and then there's the wisdom of God, the wisdom that comes from God, the knowledge that comes from God, and understanding, which we went over last week, the illumination that the Holy Spirit gives you as you know Him more, as you come to walk with Him deeper. And this understanding that we're going to look in today, the spirit of counsel. You can have a lot of counselors, you can have a lot of teachers, but there's only one Father. Amen? Looking into this fifth attribute of God, we need to understand the depth of God's direction in our personal life. That's what this counsel, the spirit of counsel, really is about. God wants you to fear Him. He wants you to have wisdom about Him. He wants you to have the knowledge of Him. He wants you to have understanding. And when you get those in order in your life, then God starts to counsel you on what you should do, where you should go. He grows you, right? And it's, as my brother has told us often, and we ought to know, when you first start knowing Jesus Christ, you start out as a baby in Christ. You still got a lot of problems in your diapers as a born-again believer. You know, there's a lot of things you don't understand. And then you start to fear God. You start understanding that first. And then God brings you up a little bit deeper. And He says, I love you. Will you come up here? Well, I want to come up there, God, but I have problems in my life. I got sin in my life. God says, well, repent. Get rid of it, kill it, and when you do, He brings you up here. And you get to know Him a little bit better, amen? All right? And then God steps up a little bit higher and says, hey, listen, if you really want to know me, you really want to have some wisdom, you got to clean some things up in your life. Look in your heart. Find out the sin that you're living in and get rid of it. And when you get rid of it, God brings you up to a different understanding. You get to know him better. And that is a progressive sanctification that happens from the time you're born again until you breathe your last breath. And in all of that, God is leading you with his spirit of counsel. The great thing about counsel, or I think the bad thing about counsel is you have a choice not to take it. It would be great if God just gave it to you and you wanted to take it. Unfortunately, most of us, we have this problem, and it's called us, you, sin, yeah. Right? Your flesh. You want to do what you want to do when you want to do it, right? God says, I want to give you strong counsel. Stop doing what you want to do. Start doing what I want you to do, and you're going to grow more. You'll be like Grow More Farms. And you'll get a deeper understanding. You'll get a deeper desire to walk with the fullness of God. Well, how do you get this counsel? Because we're talking about the spirit of counsel today. How do you get that? Well, first, let's start in prayer, and then I'll start preaching. Amen. Lay the groundwork to get into the good stuff. Amen. Dear Father, we thank you for your righteousness. We thank you for your holiness. We thank you for the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Father, as we want to be led by you, we want to be taught by you, I pray that you would speak to our hearts even now. And if there be any wickedness in us, Father, that we would kill it now. That there would not be anything in us that would stop us from walking in the fullness of the knowledge of the Most High God. Father, and I ask you, you would help us, that you would anoint me even now as I'm about ready to speak your word, Lord Jesus. I ask you that I would decrease, Lord, and you would increase, multiply a million times. I pray, Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to your church and they would hear what the Spirit has to say to them today, Father. Regardless on what level we are, teach us to follow your counsel that we could know more about Jesus. Amen. And we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' high and mighty name, amen. Jesus told us about this one that would come after he left, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord just gave this to add to the sermon this morning. So in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 15, and then we're going to skip a little bit to look at the other parts of the Spirit of God. Jesus says in John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, and he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, and shall be in you. Oh, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That's a great promise from God, right? That's what Jesus said. Listen, first of all, are you fearing God? Do you love God? All right? If you love me, there is something that's expected out of you. What is it from the scripture? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Oh, I don't need to keep the commandments of God. I trusted Jesus as my Savior. The Old Testament doesn't mean anything anymore. How many have learned that garbage? Yeah. Amen? Throw it out. Now, I'm not talking legalism here. I'm talking about keeping God's law. And again, what's the law that completes all the other laws? Love the Lord and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, you got to ask yourself, do you love God? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Ask yourself this, are you keeping the commandments of God? And you say, well, I'm doing the best I can. Well, then are you really loving God? All right, do you really love Jesus? Then there's a walk that you ought to have. If you call yourself a Christian, there is a walk, there's a lifestyle that you ought to be living. Because there's a lot of folks who claim to be Christian that don't even look like they know Christ. They don't even, they profess him with their mouth, but their heart's nowhere near him. I praise God for the Holy Spirit. I praise God for the indwelling Spirit of God, because in and of myself, in my own flesh, I can't walk the way God wants me to walk. I can't live the life God wants me to live. He sent me a comforter. He sent me one that would guide me into how much truth?
All
truth. Are you sure that's the word? Like that, I don't know a whole lot about different languages, but in the Greek, what's all mean? All. How about the Hebrew? All. Aramaic? How about English? Most. Amen. It's all. It's all. You must have all of Him. And he says in verse 26 of the same thing, I'm not going to read through it all because this is just what the Lord gave me this morning. I'll start in 25 of 14, John 14. And these things I have spoken to you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall do what?
Teach.
He will teach you all things. And bring how many things?
All
things to what?
Your
remembrance. Whatsoever I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. And he talks about going away. But if he doesn't go away, the Father won't send the Comforter. So this Comforter, this Counselor, has a job. So what's the Holy Spirit's job in your life? To teach you, right? He's supposed to teach you. Now, can somebody force you to learn something?
No.
Take it from me. When I was in school, they could not force me to learn. They tried dunce caps, beat me, make me write on the white blackboard, because there weren't whiteboards in that time. They made me stay after school, go clean the erasers, whatever, and you couldn't make me learn. Wasn't going to do it. You can't force that on me. It's my mind. I want to keep it closed. So that's my free will. Now, when the Holy Spirit's in you, you still have a free will. God wants to bring you to a deeper understanding with Him. He wants you to know how to fear Him. He wants you to know about the wisdom of Him. He wants you to know about the knowledge of Him. So He gave you the understanding. And He wants you to understand about Him. So He gave you the Comforter. He gave you the Holy Spirit to dwell in you and to teach you, to guide you, to remind you of everything that Jesus said and did. But does He force you to do those things? Your salvation is finished with Christ Jesus, but your obedience still lies within you. God will not force you to learn from Him. He will show you good and evil. He'll show you the right way, and He'll show you the world's way. You've got to choose. In fact, Joshua says, choose you this day. I think it's Joshua 24. Choose you this day who you're going to serve, which side you're going to be on. The gods that your father served before the flood, which I think is pretty interesting the way he said that. It was the gods that your father served before the floods and your father served while they were in Egypt. Are you ready to get a little deeper? Have you got your Holy Spirit ears on? Have you got your heart prepared to what the Spirit of God is about ready to show you? Listen, because if you don't want to do it, He can't force you to do it. And if you don't want to learn it, I might as well go home. Because God has something to show you today, right now. He has something to show you, but you've got to be willing to learn it. You've got to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to guide you, to teach you, to remind you of all the things that Jesus did. Now, that is a positional place in Christ. That's being willing to be a disciple of the Most High God. Are you willing to be that disciple? See, to make disciples takes two things. It takes one to teach and one to learn. Are you ready right now in your heart of hearts to learn something from God? See, you can't learn something if you think you know everything. I praise God for that. Have you ever tried to teach somebody something when they know everything? I know it all. Yeah, you can't teach me nothing. All right, get out of my class. You know, because if I can't teach you, there's no sense in you being here. First, you've got to come as an empty vessel. You've got to come to the place of Jesus Christ said, I don't know what I need to know. Will you teach me the rest? That's when the Holy Spirit will start working on your life. That's when the Holy Spirit will start illuminating the scripture to you when you read it. That's when you get a little bit deeper than John 3:16. And don't get me wrong, I love John 3:16. You got like John 3:17, 18, 19, 20, 21. You know, a little bit more, or at least as good. See, this spirit of counsel is a direction to the saint of God into a deeper relationship with Christ. It's providing a supernatural knowledge of God's will for your own individual life. And that's beautiful about the Holy Spirit. Where's he going to live? In you. No, he lives in us cooperatively, but he lives in you individually. The reason that he lives in you individually is you may not be on the same level as everybody else, because we might be loving ourselves more than we're loving God at any one point in period in our life. And God says, listen, you've got to stop loving yourself. You got to stop loving your flesh. If you want to come up here where I am, if you want to have, not me, not I, but where God wants you to be, when I say I am, don't think I'm talking about me, because I'm way down here, right? But he's calling us up to a better understanding through the unctioning, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit and his living word. Notice I said, and his word. The Bible is very important here. In Ephesians chapter 11 and verse 1, I whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, look at Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, writing to these Christians. He could be writing to you. And Paul's saying, listen, we have obtained an inheritance, all right, salvation. Being predestined, God knew you before the foundations of the world. He predestined you according to the purpose of him who worketh how many things? All things after the counsel of his own will. Everything that's happening, whether we understand it or not, is because God's allowing it to happen. All right? It's all his will. It has so much nothing to do with you. You want to know Jesus more? Then you need to be under the counsel of his will. You need to be in the place where he's teaching you things. So, well, I'd really love to study my Bible, but I have something on cable that I want to watch today. I'd really love to study my Bible, but I got this cool... They don't use CDs anymore. What's the new thing? It's... They got these little cigarette lighter things that hold music. Your phone, all right? Let's go there. I would love to learn from God, but I got to spend time on Facebook. I've got to spend time on whatever prince of the power of the air has for me. I got to spend my time on those things. You know, you're only allotted 24 hours a day, give or take a minute or two, right? I'm not certain that there is 24 hours in a day. All right, you say, well, why don't you know that? I'm asleep for half of it. So I'll give you 12, all right? I'm there for that when I'm asleep. Nothing else is happening in my noggin. So the spirit of counsel, is like our personal advisor. He is our helper. He is our guide. He gives direction on what is expected from God. So the Holy Spirit, if he's telling you something, you can always check your spirits out with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit of God will never direct you on anything that's outside of the Word of God. Amen? Amen. So I hear so many people saying today, well, I heard from the Spirit of God and he told me to leave my wife. No, he didn't. Stop that. He told me to do this or he told me to do that and it's outside of the will. He told me to cheat on my taxes. No, he didn't. God didn't tell you to do that. The Spirit of God would never give you direction to do that, because it's not what God does. He doesn't steal. He doesn't lie. He doesn't cheat. So he would never direct you to do something like that. Now, what God would do is say, don't lie, steal, and cheat, because I don't lie, steal, and cheat, right? So the Spirit of God, the counsel of God, will always lead you into the righteousness of God. And how can you check that? Through the very Word of God. That's why it's so important you read your Bible. Stop listening to radio preachers. Well, some of my favorite preachers are on the radio. You have the Holy Spirit desiring to teach you, but instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to teach you, you're listening to Dr. Seuss on the radio or on the TV set. I'm not saying that they're maybe teaching you wrong, but they're not God. They're not the Holy Spirit. They're going to teach you something inside of their own skew. You understand what I'm saying? They're going to teach you something with a bend to it. I was taught a lot of stuff with bend to it. The thing I like about the Word of God, it doesn't bend. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is always the same. He always goes in the same direction. He never changes. So if Jesus didn't come back in 1982, right? Stop listening to that radio station that promoted that because they're false prophets. 82 reasons why Jesus is going to come back in 1982. Well, listen, folks, it's 2021. He ain't here. Well, he is here, but he's not come back. So stop listening to that. Start listening to the Holy Spirit. Start reading your Word and getting your truth from the very Scripture. And again, people, I know this makes a lot of people crazy mad. Not all Bibles are Scripture. Okay? The King James Version of the Bible is Scripture. That is the perfect Word of God. NIV takes things out. ESV takes things out. They move it. They pervert it. They change it. If it doesn't say the same thing, then it's not saying the same thing. Well, I can't read the Wilt Thousand Doses. Okay, pull your fingers out of your ear and listen to what the Holy Spirit says to you. I know that'll make some people mad. I ain't here to make you happy. I'm here to help you to get holy. I'm here to get you on the right page. And I'm not going to get into all the different translations because the Word of God, well, if you want to know what a phony looks like, study the real thing. Right? Isn't that how they train bankers? They train bankers on studying the real money. You study the real thing, what it looks like. And then when a fake comes across, then you'll recognize it as a fake. That's how I know. I study the King James Bible. When this other, newer, more modern translation comes along, I can tell it ain't real. How do I do that? Through the counsel of God. Through the guiding and the direction of the Holy Spirit. Now, the deepening relationship with Christ through the guiding counsel will deliver the Christian into a more meaningful understanding of God. All right? Now, I have written down here with God, but the Holy Spirit made me change that. It's not that I will have a better understanding with God. I'm going to have a better understanding of God. Right? Paul said, I see through a glass dimly. Right? But the closer I get with God, the better, clearer it becomes. The more I study the Word of God, the less fog is in the glass. I get closer. I start learning the holiness of God. Do you understand what the holiness of God is? When you get a glimpse of the holiness of God, you realize what a miserable, wretched sinner you are. Even on your best day, you are worthless before God. Now, you might compare yourself to me, and you look pretty good. You might compare yourself to Paul, and you look pretty good. Because Paul said his righteousness was like filthy rags. But you're still comparing yourself to the wrong person. Compare yourself to the person of Jesus Christ. How do you compare yourself to the person of Jesus Christ? Listen to the counsel of God. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Read your Bible. Apply that Bible to your life. Understand what God expects out of his bride, his church. Do you know that God has a high expectation for you? He expects that you won't lie. He expects that you won't gossip. He expects that you won't steal. He expects that you won't murder. That's what he expects out of you. What's he getting? Now, this is between you and God. All right? I know in my life, I have room for improvement. Amen? You might not have any room for improvement. You might already be walking on water. I doubt it. Okay? But you might think you are. Maybe it's time to sharpen that pen and pop your bubble. Because you ain't all that. You have room for improvement. And if you don't think you have room for improvement, then you're standing in the face of God and spitting at Him. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6. Amen. Let me go there with you. I got it written down here on the notes, but I like to hear the Bible pages turning. Not probably Psalms. Psalm 18 to 38. Don't you hate it when your Bible jumps over there, although and you skip where you're going? Well, I don't hate it. But sometimes I'm flipping through my Bible. I want to get to Psalms and I go to Job, or I want to get to the other side and I flop all the way, miss the whole book. Did that like 15 times today, looking for Micah.
Which Psalm did you say?
Psalm 1 is like the very first one. Now here's how you, this is joyful, blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, just looking at this very first part of this, just the very first part. Joyful, happy, content, okay, is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What has the ungodly told us over the last year? What kind of counsel have you been getting from CNN? What kind of counsel have you been getting from Fox News? What kind of counsel have you been getting from your government? What kind of counsel have you been getting from the scientists? Do you know that Fauci is an atheist? Right? Do you understand that? That he is one of those who will persecute you if you stand up and say you're a Christian. If he was teaching a class and you were there and you stood up and said, I am a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, he would have you scorned and possibly drug out into the streets and stoned to death. Or at least give you a vaccine.
I'll take the stoning.
Why is the church following that stuff? Why is the church following that stuff? We're supposed to have an indwelling spirit, an indwelling Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth, that teaches us all things. What happened? Where's the church in that? Well, I'm going to close. I'm so scared of the world. I'm so scared of the government. I'm going to close down the churches. Anathema. Amen. Listening to the counsel of the ungodly. God did not give you a spirit of fear. He gave you a sound mind. And I believe God is sovereign. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. He's the one in control. Fauci is ignorant. He's a fool. Well-educated. Don't get me wrong. He knows where all the silent letters are hid. But he is a fool because he does not trust God. He doesn't know God. He does not know salvation. He doesn't know the power of God. He doesn't know the sovereignty of God. If he can't make it in a test tube, it ain't real to him. Well, I got news for Fauci and everybody who believes that garbage. The things that are made were not made of this world. Amen? The things that exist right now on this planet did not come from this planet.
Invisible.
Amen. Invisible attributes of God are clearly made. The church is faithless. Verse 2. But this is the light in the law of the Lord, and in His law doeth He meditate night and day. Listen, do you really delight in the law of God? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll keep the law. Do you delight in the law of God? When I read the Word of God, there is an excitement that comes up in me. And it's not because I know what I'm reading. It's because I have a connection through the Holy Spirit to the throne room of the Most High God. And He's trying to tell me something. I delight in that. Oh, how I love to sit at the feet of Jesus and just glean what He's telling me through the power of the Word of God and the direction, the counseling of the Holy Spirit. Church, we've missed it. We've lost it. But we haven't lost it forever. You could get it back. Do you know how you can get it back? Stop listening to the garbage of this world. Stop living in fear. Start living by faith. Amen. Trust God. Amen? Know that He is sovereign. Cuomo is not sovereign. Amen? Trump is not sovereign. The vaccine will not help you. Not one person is going to die outside of God's will. Not one person has ever died outside of God's will. God knows you're born on date. He knows the little dash between your death. He knows all of that. How did I get this great knowledge? Through the Word of God. Amen? It's not that I'm super smart because I don't use silent letters. Right? I don't have the world's knowledge. I don't have what the scientists have. What I have is faith in God who made science. He made science. I believe what He says. I don't believe what these other people say. I have no faith in them. My faith is in nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. Amen. It's almost a song. No, it is a song. Are you delighting in the law of the Lord? And in His law doeth you meditate. Do you understand what meditate is? I'm not talking about sitting in the cross-legged lotus position going, like we did in the 70s. Right? I'm saying, read the Word of God. Allow it to trickle down inside of you. Allow that Word of God to hit the stony heart that you have and change it to a heart of flesh. Allow the Word of God to take the things of this world and allow that truth of God's Word to seep into all those crevices of unbelief and flush it out. That's what meditating. So you don't meditate on anything. The problem with the American church or the church as a whole right now in the world is we're meditating on other things. We're worried about other things. We're thinking about other things. Oh, your focus is all wrong. And if you start with the wrong beginning, no matter where you end up, you're going to be wrong. All right? Because if your launch point is incorrect, if what you're standing on as right is wrong, amen, you'll be miles away. Yeah. And the whole time that you're sailing, you'll think you're on the right path. What a horrible thing it is as you work through this life and you're climbing the ladder of success and all that kind of garbage, and you get to the top of the ladder at the end of your life and realize you've had it propped against the wrong building the whole time. Maybe it's time to stop doing that. Maybe it's time to meditate on God's Word day and night. Oh, and when you do meditate on God's Word day and night, verse 3 says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf all shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That comes from knowing God. That comes from doing the counsel of God. That comes from meditating on the Word of God. That comes from seeping in the Word of God. And then all of a sudden, no matter what you do, it's good. Why? Because you're not doing your will, you're doing His will. When you do God's will in your life, everything becomes profitable. Now, I'm not talking about cash in your wallet. We know that all things work for the good to those who love the Lord. and are called for his purpose. I look at my brother's life that we talked about, Justin, right? I look at that and I don't see good in it. But I trust God that there is good in it. I look at this virus that came across last year. I don't see good in that until I look at it through God's eyes. Look at what it did. Separated those who are living by faith and those who are living by not faith. Amen? It's shaken. Shake them to the core.
Yeah.
Do you really believe what you say you believe is real? Do you really believe that God is a healer? Do you?
Yeah.
Does your life live it out? Do you really believe that God is sovereign over the whole thing? Amen. Just a little stat from the FBI, all right? They keep a record of how many people die every year. Do you know that it didn't change from 2018, 2019, 2020? It's the same. If this was a super bug virus and every millions of people were going to die, there would have been a huge increase. Funny thing, COVID cured the flu. Also cured most of the suicides. I shot myself in the face with a shotgun. Must have been COVID. I was drunk driving, ran into a tree. It must have been COVID. Right? People, how ignorant are we? Well, we're ignorant, no doubt. But the problem is we're listening to the counsel of man rather than the counsel of God. We're being directed by the fears of this world. Verse 4. It says, and the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Woo! Boy, that makes me feel good. There's going to be a separating. Those who live by faith, those who meditate on the Word of God, those who apply the Word of God, you got a seat at the table. Everybody else don't. Right? Either you live by faith or you don't live by faith. Right? And so, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteousness. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I don't know for you, but for me, that's good news. The way of science is going to perish. What do they call it? CRT, critical race theory? That's going to perish. It's going to perish. Trusting in science more than you trust God, guess what? That's going to. Those who even believe that, guess what? They're going to perish. They're going to be wiped out.
Science, false, and so called.
Amen. Those things, they're not going to stand. They can't stand. What does stand? What never changes? God's Word. God's Word, God's righteousness, God's holiness, God's way, God's counsel. That never changes. Everything else is worthless. You think what you see is real? No, it isn't. You're living in a huge illusion. Illusion of wealth. I'm going to trust my 401k. You know? I'm going to trust in this. I'm going to trust in that. I'm going to trust in the other thing. Listen, folks, God really isn't concerned about the wealth of this world. To him, gold is like asphalt, right? He paves the streets with it. It's worthless. These things that we're holding on to, these things, I'm going to fight and strive and work and work, and I'm going to take the counsel of my financial advisors. I'm going to do all this stuff. No offense there, sweetheart. But I'm going to take all of this stuff, and I'm going to put all of my weight in this stuff. When you die, how much of that do you take with you? Nothing. There ain't no U-Hauls following a hearse. Right? When you die, you leave it all. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have a house. God says that you could have a house. You know, I'm not saying that you shouldn't eat. You know, God provides us food. But are you trying to provide it outside of God's will? God says that we're supposed to suffer for his righteousness.
Not in America. I'm an American, man. I trust the Constitution of the United States. I'm going to bare my arms. See, I'm rolled up on both sleeves. Wait a second. God didn't say that. He told us to lay our lives down if we really loved people.
They're going to come for your guns. Come. Take them. You know what? I got something stronger than a gun. I really do. You can have all the ARs and bazookas and grenade launchers and all that stuff you want to have. Because when your day's up, it don't matter. It don't matter. The only thing that's going to matter, are you born again? Are you accepting the counsel of God? Are you walking in the holiness of God or not? The blessing will come completely to those who trust God and meditate in His Word. Again, while we're in Psalm, flip over, if you will, to 32. Psalm 32.
24. See, that's what I'm talking about.
32 and starting in verse 8. And well, actually, start up in verse 7 because I like that.
Actually, the whole thing's good. I hate starting in the middle, right? But for the sake of time, I need to start in the middle. Go home and read the whole thing for yourself, all right? Let's start in verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as a horse or as a mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with a bit and a bridle, lest they come near thee. Many sorrows shall be upon the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Oh, be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Who's supposed to? Let me ask you this: are you upright in heart? All right. Are you at that place where you're accepting the counsel of God and living in the righteousness of God? Well, if you are, there's some promises in here for you. Then God is your hiding place. God will preserve you from trouble. God will compass around you with the songs of deliverance. The times that we're coming up in, who's going to protect you? Fauci.
No, Fauci isn't. Biden isn't. Trump isn't. This government isn't. Your school board isn't. Who's going to protect you? God. If you meditate on His Word. If you apply His Word. If you do what you can to be holy and righteous. If you start applying the Word of your of the God in your life in such a way that it starts changing stuff. Then you will learn how to be content no matter what state you're in. Don't move from New York. Stay in New York and get content. How do you get content? You walk with Jesus Christ. I'm not. Yeah, I was talking to you, Val. Don't move. Yeah, you go. Yeah. No, I'm not. I'm talking about individuals. We need to be set apart and looking for the fullness of God. He says God will guide you if you will allow Him, and He'll guide you with His eyes. It's easy to take loud orders from somebody, right? Drill instructor screams at you, you jump to attention, you do the thing that you're supposed to. But only a servant will the master be able to look at and guide you with his eyes. He'll look at you and you'll know what you need to do. Only somebody who has a broken and a contrite heart will be able to receive that. Only somebody who's really seeking the counsel of God will be able to see that. And when God does that for you, he doesn't have to scream at you. God speaks to you in a whisper. He gives you direction with his eyes. He just looks in the way you're supposed to go. And the servant of God will go that way. He will do the things that God tells them to. Go ahead, Ron.
I was brought up to Genesis.
Yeah, come on.
39, 2 and 3. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was prosperous.
Yeah.
He was a prosperous man. He was in the house of the master of the Egyptian, and his master saw the Lord was with him.
Yeah.
And the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hands.
Yep. Because he was listening to the counsel of God. Joseph listened to the counsel. He heard these things. He knew what God wanted him to do. And he walked in the holiness. He was led by the Holy Spirit of God. He knew what was right. He knew what was wrong. He applied the right things in his life. And he shunned the wrong things. Even when Potiphar's wife came and wanted to seduce him. He said, I ain't doing that. How can I sin against my worldly master and my godly? How can I do such a thing? Church, how can we do such a thing? God will guide you if you allow him to. And yet it seems we'll run every which way except to God. We run every which way except to God. And only God is the counselor. Only God has the absolute truth. Only the Spirit of God can lead you to the counselor of God. Only those things, only obeying him, only applying his word. God's counsel may not be what you want to hear. Do you know that? Sometimes God tells you something you don't want to hear. Often. Curtis, you got to sell your truck and tools and you got to preach full time. What do you mean? I've always made a living with these hands. I've always. All right. You're telling me to quit everything I know?
Yep.
Telling you quit everything you know. Trust me and watch me prosper you. All right? Now, I don't have two dimes to rub in my pocket most of the time. But I tell you what, I'm richer than most folks.
Amen.
Amen. It is a blessing. God has given me more than I ever could desire. Because I've desired all the worldly things, and I tell you what, they left me bone dry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The world never fulfilled. Oh, but God. Oh, but God. Listening to the counsel of God, obeying God, walking in the righteousness of God, my cup runneth over. Amen. He may not tell you what you want to hear, but he always tells you what you need to hear. And when we obey him, he alone knows your ending from where you are. See, God knows where you're at, and he knows where you ought to go. You have a free will not to go there. You know that? You can say no.
He won't violate it.
God won't violate it.
Yeah.
He holds his word above his name. And if you say, I don't want to follow you, God, he's not going to force you. God's going to keep going. I didn't have to start this church. You know that? I could have said, no, God, I'm not going to do it. You know, I don't feel like I'm called. How many folks don't get involved in any kind of ministry because I don't think I'm called to that ministry? Shut up. If God called you, he will supply the way, right? If the counsel of God says, sell your truck and start a church, you better sell your truck and start a church. Now, don't get me wrong. God told me I could install floors for the rest of my life and be happy. No, I wouldn't be happy. I would be content. I would have everything that the world wanted to offer me. But I would lose every spiritual gift I would have ever gained. Let me tell you, following the counsel of God is better than following your own common sense. Get up and get out of your father's house, and I will bring you to a land I will show you, as he told Abraham. Abram. Right? Get up and get out. Now wait, God, that doesn't make sense. What do you mean get up and get out? I'm comfortable here. Listen, there's a land I got to show you. You can't get there from here. There's a promise, there's a thing that God wants you to get to. You cannot get there and stay where you are. You've got to listen to the counsel of God. God's telling me to quit my job, right? I'm a nurse. I don't want to get into this thing that they're going to be forcing people to do. Or I'm a teacher and I don't want to have to take the vaccine to teach. Well, are you going to trust God or are you going to trust the government? God says, I'm going to take care of you. Even if you die, okay, I'm going to take care of you. Why is the church so afraid of death? Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? Send me home early. All right?
You know what I'm saying? I have no fear of this thing. I have no fear of the government. I have no fear of breathing my last breath here, because when I breathe my last breath here, I will breathe my first breath in eternity.
Amen.
With God. Because I'm born again. Right? I trust Him.
Yes.
That's the counsel of God. That's where you get that kind of faith. From knowing God, from knowing His Word. This is page 2 out of 4. I think we'll touch on this again next week. There's so much more to this than listening to the counsel of God than what we may think. There's one more, and I ain't going to speak on this much because it's already time to start preaching. I'm so tired of telling you guys I'm going to stop preaching because I'm worried about what you're up to. I really don't care what you got to do this afternoon. You know, I mean, really, I don't care. You know, well, I need to go somewhere else. Well, then go. Right? Just go. If that's more important to you, go. I love you. I'll be here. Right? Proverbs 19 and verse 20 says, "Hear counsel, receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end." Who wants to be smarter tomorrow than you are today?
Amen.
Amen. In your latter end. You know, I know some old, ignorant people. Their latter end, they're not any smarter. In fact, they were smarter when they were 18 because they knew everything then. Right? I know some people who have no sense. They're gray-headed just like me, but they don't have sense enough to pour water out of a boot. Why? Because they didn't hear godly counsel. They didn't hear godly counsel. They wouldn't receive instructions from God that they might be wise in their latter days. See, if I don't know where you are, but if you start listening right now to the counsel of God, you're going to get wiser and wiser and wiser and wiser. The older you get, the more counsel you listen to, the more you walk with God, the wiser you're going to become. But you got to start. I cannot start for you. You must start on your own. Next week we'll get into the New Testament. This is just, and really, the counsel of God, when you start looking up the counsel of God, you're going to find hundreds of verses about this. Hundreds. I just barely scratched the dirt off of the paint this morning. There's more to it than what I can tell you. I suggest this week, when you go home, open your Bible.
Amen.
Open your Bible. Test these things to see if they're so. When you go home, start a prayer life. All right? And here's a great way to start praying. Lord Jesus, kill me. Kill my will. Kill my knowledge. Kill my understanding. But illuminate me, enlighten me with your will. Enlighten me with your understanding. And when you give me life from the throne of God.
Amen.
Right? Because when you do that, God will honor that prayer. But when He starts honoring that prayer, hold on. Because things will change. You'll start seeing things in a different view when you stop looking for your will to be done and start looking for His will to be done. When you stop listening to the counsel of this world, which is ignorant, and I'll show that to you next week, I can prove it. Scripture says that the worldly counsel is foolishness. All right? When you stop looking for the world's counsel, start looking for the counsel of God. Illumination is going to start happening. Faith is going to start growing in you. Realness, you'll start understanding what's real and what's not real. And again, I can't make it happen for you. You must do these things on your own. You know that? You've got to do it. Can't do it for you. But I can pray for you. So guess what I'm going to do? Dear Father, we love you. We praise you. Lord, I thank you for the beginning of the understanding of the counsel of God.
I pray even now, Lord Jesus, through the power of the Holy Ghost, I pray, Father, even now that you would start moving in and on the hearts of men. Bring us to the understanding. Bring us to the knowledge, a better knowledge of the Most High God. Father, teach us how to walk in righteousness. Teach us how to trust your word. Teach us, Father, to listening to the unction of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Oh, Father, I pray that you would have a people that could be guided with your eye. Oh, Lord, let our hearts be open. Let our lives, let our understanding, let our comprehension be open to what the God of the universe, the creator of all things, wants us to do. And then make us obedient servants. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We ask those things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.